All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40 for the message. And you just keep your Bible open there if you will. I'm going to read a few verses here this morning. There's only 23 verses in the chapter, but I'm going to bypass the first little bit here and pick it up in verse 6. Verse 6, Genesis chapter 40. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right there in front of you, and you may use that. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 6. And I want to read down to verse 14, and I'm going to take my thoughts this morning from verse 14. But I think we need to get the context before we get to the text, all right? So let's look at verse 6. The Bible says, "And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were," what's the next word? Sad. They were sad. So they had that, my grandfather used to call that the hangdog look. The hangdog look. He said, "What you got that hangdog look for?" And if you've ever walked in and your dog's done something and then it starts ducking its head, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, they know when they've done wrong. And we do too. All right, so they were sad. They were dejected, if you will. Verse 7, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them." In other words, tell me your dream, I pray you, I ask you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler." All right, so don't forget now, this is the butler having this dream. A butler would have been like Pharaoh's number one servant. He would have been just watched over everything he did. Watched over his food, watched over his clothing, everything. He was just there to take care of the needs of the Pharaoh. All right, so he said, "You're going to be doing what you used to do before he got mad at you and threw you in prison." So verse 14, now watch this. This is Joseph now talking to the butler, and he says to him, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." In other words, out of the prison house. All right, now look at the last verse in this chapter. The last verse, verse 23, it says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Nice guy, huh? Yeah. Real thoughtful individual there. All right, so I want to use this 14th verse this morning, and I want to speak to you on this subject. What is our commission? What is our commission? All right, now Joseph gave the butler a commission. He asked him to do something. And then I want to take verse 14, which was Joseph's commission to the butler, and I want to apply it to us as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus. All right, let's pray, and then the message. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning and just want to thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless as we open the word of God this morning. I pray you'll help me as I speak, and I pray you'll bless our folks as they listen. And Father, we ask you to stir our hearts with your word. There is a wonderful little picture here, and I pray you'll help me to get that picture across. And Father, may we all see it. May we all see it clearly. And Father, may it stir our souls. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do for us. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to make sure you understand the context here of this story. I did not read the end of the last chapter, nor did I read the first part of this present chapter, chapter 40. But let me just tell you the story. All right, Joseph was put in prison when Mrs. Potiphar lied against him to her husband. And he got angry and had him thrown into prison. Now, we know that he was guiltless in the events that transpired in chapter 39. But as life is sometimes unjust, Joseph was caught in life's unfairness, and so he sat imprisoned in life's awful, awful clutches. Also in prison was Pharaoh's butler, as well as Pharaoh's baker. Both of these men were sitting there because they had, the word the Bible uses is offended Pharaoh. Now, it probably didn't take a whole lot, all right? Let me just say that. It probably didn't take a whole lot to offend him. And that is kind of given in the fact that the butler was forgiven of his offense and was brought back and given the full position of his old job back. But anyway, they had offended Pharaoh, and both of them were put in prison alongside of Joseph. Well, one morning, Joseph walks in, and the butler was sitting there with a discouraged look on his face, and Joseph asked him why he was so troubled. And he responded that he had had a dream the night before, and he had no idea what the meaning of that dream was. So Joseph said, well, you know, dreams are interpreted by Jehovah God. So why don't you tell me the dream, and we'll see if God will give me the interpretation for you to kind of help you out a little bit. So the butler told Joseph his dream. And then Joseph said, all right, here is the interpretation to your dream. And Joseph then told the butler that in 3 days he was going to be sent for, and he was going to be released from prison and would be given his old job back as Pharaoh's butler. And in verse 14, my text verse, Joseph gave the butler a commission. And he said to him, now, sir, when you get out of jail and you get back in Pharaoh's household serving once again, please remember that I helped you get out of jail, but I also helped you interpret your dream, and please ask Pharaoh to get me out of this rat hole prison that we're in. Now that's in the Hebrew, all right? You would have to know the Hebrew to understand that said rat hole, all right? No, it's not really, but I just making sure you're awake. And so anyway, sure enough, 3 days later, what happened? Well, Pharaoh sat down to the prison, and the butler was released. And so I'm sure Joseph sat there and thought to himself, well, shouldn't be too much longer now. He's been out a couple hours. They'll be coming for me next. But they never came. And then a few days went by, and Joseph, every time he heard a little noise, thought, is this it? Are they coming for me now? But they never came. And in verse, last verse, in verse 23, we learn that the chief butler did not remember Joseph. He forgot about him. And thus, Joseph had to stay in jail. Now, in this 14th verse, we see Joseph giving a commission to the butler. And this commission, in principle, is like the commission that the Lord Jesus gave to each and every one of us as believers. And there are four things that I want you to consider that I think are clearly stated here, which compare that commission to the commission that the Lord Jesus has given to each and every one of us. First of all, look at verse 14. Let me read it to you once again. In verse 14, it says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee." In other words, when you get out, when you get back out of jail, think about me. "And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." All right, four things. Number one, I want you to note with me the meditation. He asks him to think on me. Think about me. Don't get out of here and forget me, but think about me. You see, folks, our service for the Lord begins with the mind and the heart. All through our Bible, Old Testament as well as New Testament, we are commissioned to think on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are commissioned to keep the Lord first and foremost in our minds and in our hearts. But boy, just like the butler, so often we forget about him, don't we? Why is that? Why is that? Well, we need to think on him. So Joseph said to the butler, "But think on me." If we do not have our minds stayed upon the Lord Jesus, well, the truth is we're not going to do very much in the way of serving. We're not going to be serving the way we should. The prophet Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. He said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Whose mind is stayed on thee. We must keep our minds on the Lord if we are going to serve the Lord the proper way. You see, this butler failed for two long years in carrying out the commission that Joseph gave him, simply because he forgot about Joseph. You know, it was a shame that Joseph did so much for this butler. and interpreted his dream for him. It was because of Joseph that this butler was called back to his freedom. And yet, he forgot about Joseph. And, you know, things worked out well for the butler. But then he turns right around and forgets the man who did so much for him. I mean, he just did not think of Joseph. That's how the Lord tells us in verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. He just forgot about Joseph. You see, folks, the butler's problem, now think with me, the butler's problem was not a lack of courage. It was not a lack of courage. It was a lack of contemplation. He just did not think about Joseph. I'm sure poor old Joseph sat in that awful prison and was so puzzled as to why no one had come from Pharaoh with a key in his hand and papers in his hand to open the prison doors so that Joseph could walk out to his freedom. And you know, folks, the same thing is true with us, is it not? As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure the butler got out of prison and he was probably so excited and was utterly and completely focused on making sure he did not do anything to offend Pharaoh again. He may have been so focused on doing as great a job as he could possibly do for Pharaoh. I mean, for that moment, for the now, for that very instant, that he completely forgot the wonderful help that he had received from Joseph. And I think that we can fit right in that same vein. You say, how so, Pastor? Well, I'm saying, folks, that our minds can be occupied by so many other things instead of our minds focused upon the one who made it possible for us to be free from the bondage of sin. Many times we get so busy with right now, today. I mean, right now. You talk to folks and you say, how you doing? Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. Everybody's busy. Have you noticed that? I mean, you just start paying attention when you ask folks, how you doing? They're going to say, oh, I'm busy. Man, I've been so busy. Really? Really? You've been busy? We all are busy. Life demands it today. It's just the way things are. And our minds, though, can be so preoccupied and occupied with so many other things that we get focused upon the now and we don't think about the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Christian, can I challenge you this morning? Never get over the fact that God Almighty has saved your soul. Don't ever get over that. I mean, you ought to just sit around. I tell you what, if you ever wake up one morning and you're all down and discouraged and you're wondering, man, am I going to make it through the day? Why don't you just stop and think about the day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I'm telling you, if that doesn't get a little fire burning in your bones, I don't know what will. I often think about that Sunday morning, and I have told you folks about it so much, you're probably sick of hearing the story, aren't you? But I think about it all the time. That morning when I heard the gospel and when I got nudged by that girl that was sitting beside me, as she nudged me, I had stepped out in the aisle and then stepped back in. I wanted to be saved. But then there was a battle going on, and I stepped out, and then I stepped back in, and she elbowed me, and she said, why don't you just go ahead and get saved? You know you want to. And that's all it took. And down the aisle I walked, and the youth pastor, Gary Lane, one of our missionaries now that we support down in Mexico, Gary Lane he knelt down beside of me, opened the Bible, and showed me how to get saved. And I prayed and received the Lord as my Savior. And folks, I have never gotten over that day. I didn't deserve that. That was grace. That was mercy. The day when the Lord Jesus, he didn't have to, but he said that whosoever will may come, and I proved that that is the truth, folks, because when I came, he accepted me. And he reached down in that pit, and he lifted me out and set my feet upon the solid rock. And then just 6 months later, 7 months later, called me to preach. Now, you go figure. I would have never in my wildest imaginations ever thought that the day I got saved, that I would be standing here in the pulpit of the Church of the Open Door. Never in my wildest dreams. But that's what the Lord does. And yet, what do? We forget him. We forget him. Never lose that sense of gratitude that you have in your heart. Never lose that. Never get over the fact that the Lord Jesus himself, the eternal God of heaven, the creator of all things, the giver and taker of life, don't ever get over that one day he reached down and lifted you out. Oh my, so important that we realize we got to keep our minds on him. Amen. We got to keep our minds on him. Let's keep first and foremost the Lord Jesus on our minds and in our hearts. So that's the meditation. Note with me the meditation. Secondly, note with me the obligation. You say, where you get that? Well, look at your Bible. Joseph challenged the butler, saying to him, and show kindness. And show kindness. What was he saying? Here's what he was saying. Hey, Mr. Butler, I helped you. Now, I'd appreciate it if you'd help me. I helped you. I was kind to you. Will you be kind to me? Joseph challenged the butler. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. And boy, that's true, isn't it? Joseph showed the butler kindness, and all he asked was for it to be reciprocated. And you can be assured that no one has been as kind and as gracious to you as has the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so if someone is good to you, well, don't you think you ought to be a little obligated to return their kindness? I should think so. Let's suppose someone, just for example, let's suppose you had a financial need and someone got wind of that. And so they came to me and they said, Pastor, would you take this and give it to so-and-so to cover their financial need? Oh, that happens all the time. That happens all the time. I'm more than happy to be the conduit to help someone out. Let's suppose you needed surgery and you didn't have insurance. And so someone said, in order for you to have this insurance, let me take care of that for you. I understand that if you have this surgery, it's going to save your life. Well, let me take care of that for you. Well, wouldn't you not feel a little obligated, a little appreciative to that person that helped you out? Especially when life and death is concerned. Well, the Lord Jesus has done that and more for all of us. I mean, for all of us. He left, think about it, folks. He left heaven's throne and came to this earth for one reason and one reason only. And that was to die on the cross in order to pay your sin debt and mine. He was not paying his own sin debt. He had none of his own. But yet he willingly went to that cross. Why? For you and for me. That's amazing to me that he would even do that. But he left all that glory in heaven. Left all of that splendor in heaven. He was seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he got up off of that seat and came to be born in a manger in Bethlehem. Live on this earth for 33 and a half years, and then be taken by the wicked hands of men and beaten beyond recognition, and then nailed to an old rugged cross, and he hung there between heaven and earth for 6 hours. Why? For you and for me. Man, I'm telling you, we ought to be appreciative, don't you think? We ought to feel a little obligated to the one who has redeemed us. But think about it from this standpoint. Now that you know Christ is your Savior, you want to hear the good part? You get to go to heaven. Wow. You get to go to heaven. Man, you get to go and walk on streets of gold. The Lord has a mansion up there for you. It's got your name on it. I know I've told you this one before. Down at Dixie, we had two hymnals when I first went there. We had the number 2 Stamps Baxter shaped notes, and then we had number 7. All right, number 2 and number 7. They were both in the pew, in the hymn racks. And so we sung all the old-timey songs, you know. It had a few modern hymns in it, but we sang a lot of the old-timey songs. And I had never heard most of them, and never heard them in my life. They definitely didn't sing them at Bob Jones when I was there. I can tell you that. And so I was sitting there one morning, and Mike was leading the singing, and he said, let's turn to hymn so-and-so. And I turned over there, and I looked at it, and it said, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory. I went, what? Am I seeing that right? So we started singing it, and we got through the first verse, and I stood up, and I walked over, and I said, Mac, excuse me a minute. And I said, folks, I don't think we ought to sing this song. They all looked at me like, I don't think you're supposed to do that. But I said, I don't think we ought to sing this song. And they were all puzzled. They were just looking around at one another. And I said, I grew up in a cabin. We didn't have heat except for the potbelly stove that sat in the middle of the house. We didn't have running water except for what you ran out the back door to the well house to get. And I just, I don't want to live in heaven for all eternity in a cabin. The Lord said, there's a mansion up there for me. I'm going to bypass the cabin if it's all right with you. I'll take the mansion. Well, they all looked at me like, I never thought of that. So we never sung that song anymore. That was it. I don't want a cabin. Good grief, I got saved. And I'm going to heaven. I want a mansion, don't you? So anyway, realize you're going to heaven, folks. But here's the good part. When the Lord Jesus resurrected, the Bible says that he went down and got the keys to death and hell. When you have the keys, you have the control. Right? When you have the keys. I don't have that one. My car key, I left it on my desk. My car key, you can't start that car without that key. You can't get in that car unless you break the windows out. And if you do, it's going to blast all over Carroll County. But that key, I keep it on me. I keep these keys on me. That is the office key right there. That is the inner sanctum key, the key to the Holy of Holies right there. That's my office, the inner sanctum. You know, I'm tucked in. So people will come in my office and go, wow, I didn't know all this was here. It's weird, isn't it? But it is there. But this key opens it. We keep it locked. Why? Because I don't want you nosing around in my office. That's why. All right. And but when you have the keys, you have the control. Well, the Lord Jesus went down and he took the keys from the devil. And when he took the keys, he came back. And here's what he did. The moment you got saved, he took the key and he unlocked heaven for you. And then he took another key and he locked hell. My friend, listen, if you are a born-again believer, you couldn't get into hell if you wanted to. It's locked. You don't have a key. Only the Lord Jesus has the key. And thank God, when you get saved, the heaven is open, hell is locked. What a Savior. What a Savior. Don't you think we ought to be obligated to him? Man, I do. I think we ought to serve him, don't you? Yeah, I mean, look at what he's done for us. All right, number three. Got to move on. I got two more. Number three, note with me, thirdly, the proclamation. The proclamation. All right, I said first, we have the meditation. Then secondly, we have the obligation. But now thirdly, note with me the proclamation. You say the proclamation. Yeah, Joseph said, make mention of me unto Pharaoh. You see, Joseph was wanting the butler to speak to Pharaoh about him and about how beneficial Joseph could be to him with the way God blessed him and enabled him to interpret dreams. Now, there are two details about this part of the commission, the proclamation. Two details that I want you to notice. First of all, notice the person in the proclamation. What Joseph say? Make mention of who? Me. Me. Joseph asked him not to tell his own story, but to tell Pharaoh his story. Joseph told the butler, now don't you go up there and just talk about you. Go up there and mention me. Mention me. I want out of this jail. Mention me. So he asked him, make mention of me. And look at the simple application of this. We all know the theme of our message needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not need the world to hear our story. We need the world to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that can save them. We can't save them. I can't save them. But Jesus can. And so we need to tell the world about the one who can save their soul. When we leave Jesus out of our message, then we cease to have a message. It's just that simple. Back in the early 2000s, Brother Glenn Matthews and I went to China for 21 days to preach over there, and we landed in Shanghai, then we got on a train and went way out in the country, and then we went to somewhere else, and then we went to somewhere else. Where did we go? What's the big city? Beijing. We went to Beijing, you talk about the Lord just blessing and opening doors. We had so many people saved. It was unreal. But there was this one town we were in, and everything had ended for us, and we were getting ready. We had to stay there one more night, and the next morning we were going to another church and another school, and so we were going out on the street on a Friday night to try and find some place that we could eat. And so we stepped out and on the street, and there were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people just shopping and going to restaurants and all this. So we stood there and watched folks for a little while. And then we went to this little restaurant, and we got to seat, and this fella came over to practice his English on us. Seriously, that's why he came over. He saw us and knew immediately that we weren't from around there, and I don't know how he figured that out, but anyway, he came over and he said, "Are you Americans?" And we said, "Yes." And he said, "Can I practice English on you?" And I said, "Yeah, man, pull up a chair." And so he pulled up a chair and I said, "Have you eaten?" And he said, "No, not yet." And I said, where are you sitting?" He said, over there. And he pointed. And I said, "Well, go get your stuff and bring it over here. You can eat with us." And man, thrilled his soul. So anyway, he went and got his stuff, came back over and sat down, and he said, "Why are you here?" And he said, we don't see Americans." I said, "Yeah, I understand that. As a matter of fact, there was a little tiny girl about that big. She couldn't have been more than three or four. And her mother was walking her down the street. And when she saw us, she froze. She froze. She looked at Glenn like, "How do you get that big?" You know, I mean, she was just in awe of Glenn. And so the mom reached down and picked her up, and she says something to her mother, and her mother giggles. And I said, "Do you speak English?" And she said, she said, "TV." I said, "Oh, okay. So you learn from American TV." I thought, "You're in trouble. You know how to curse. I know you know how to curse if you learn from American TV." So anyway, the girl would say something else and she would giggle. And so I said, "What is she saying?" And the mother said, she went like this. And I said, "She wants to touch my hand." And she shook her hand. "Yes, touch." And so I knelt down. And the little girl walks over and she touched my hand. She looks up at her mother. And what happened was, what she was thinking was that we had to be scaly. We had to have scales. And when I didn't have scales on my hand, it just, man, I mean, it was just like, you know, amazing to her. And so anyway, we're sitting at this restaurant, and this guy's sitting there, just talking away, good English, real good English. And he said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Well, we have come to China to tell the people of China about God and his son, Jesus Christ." And he said, "Don't know. I don't know him." I said, you don't know God?" He said, "Shanti?" I said, "No, not Shanti. That's their mythical god." I said, "No, not Shanti, Jehovah." He looks at me and he says, no, I don't know him." I said, "Well, he has a son. And here's the neat thing. The only way you can know God, Jehovah, is through his son, the Lord Jesus." "Really?" I said, "Yeah." "Why?" "Why?" "Oh, well, here's..." And so an hour later, that young man bowed his head and prayed the sinner's prayer right there while his food got cold. He didn't care about the food anymore. He was intrigued that God had a son. And I was able to lead that man to Christ. Now, folks, I did not sit there and say, well, let me tell you about me. Well, there's nothing to tell. All right? I'm old. I'm tired. I go to bed grouchy. I wake up grouchy. It's just the way life is. No, I didn't tell him about. I didn't tell him about Glenn. Oh, I could have sat there and told him all about Glenn Matthews. I mean, I could have went on forever about Glenn. But no, I can't do anything for that man. Glenn couldn't do anything for that man. So what I did was I told him about Jesus, because Jesus could do what none of us could do. So that's the person. Then notice the place. He said, go unto Pharaoh. You see, the butler was to proclaim his message where he was. Where he was. Spurgeon met a man one time in a meeting who was a train conductor. And he told Spurgeon that he felt the Lord was calling him to go into a certain country as a missionary. He said, I want to tell people in that land how to get to heaven. Tell them about Jesus. Spurgeon said to him, well, sir, do you have neighbors? He said, well, of course I do. Spurgeon said, well, have you shared the gospel with your neighbors and won them to Jesus? Phil said, well, no. And then Spurgeon said, well, do you work with others on the train? He said, well, of course I do. Spurgeon said, well, have you shared the gospel with the men that you work with? He said, no, I have not. So Spurgeon looked at him and said, sir, why don't you start winning people to Christ where you are before you go running off to a foreign country to tell others about Christ? You see, folks, if we win those where we are, then that's what the Lord wants us to do. You're not going to say, well, when I get on the foreign field, I'll be a soul winner. No, you won't. No, you won't. Not if you're not trying to get people saved here. You're not going to do it. So God puts us in various places so we'll witness for him there. And then lastly, I want you to note with me the exaltation. The exaltation. Joseph finished this by saying, and bring me out of this house. You see, the objective of the commission was to bring Joseph out of the place of dishonor, prison, to the place of honor, freedom. That was the commission. That was the goal. That was the objective. Joseph was asking for the butler to exalt him to freedom. Joseph, as a type of Christ, is seen here as a picture of what each of us should be doing with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We are to be telling the world about our Savior and exalting His holy name. The Great Commission in all five times it's mentioned in the New Testament is given. And every time it's given, it has in it that we are to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, let's just turn over there real quick, all right? Go over there real quick. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28, and I'll wait on you to get there. I want everyone to see this. Matthew 28, all right, look down please at verse 18. Verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Now, they tell me, and I remember hearing this long before I even ever went to Bible college, but they tell us that word power means authority. Authority. And if you have a Cambridge Bible, you'll see the little footnote, and it goes over in the center column, and it says authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now listen, folks, look here. A policeman does not have the power to stand out in the road and stop a car doing 55 miles an hour. Nod your heads. Right? But he has the authority. He has a badge on. He has a uniform on. He has a flashlight in his hand. He has a 9mm strap to his side. He's got this scowl on his face. He doesn't have the power, but he has the authority. So if he steps out in the road, shines that light, and puts his hand up, you're going to stop. If you don't stop, you got a problem. So does he if he doesn't get out of the way. But you got a problem. You see, he has authority. He holds that hand up, it means you better stop. All right? And Jesus said, all authority is given unto me. Now, because Jesus has the authority, he can say what he's about to say. And what he's about to say is what we call the Great Commission. And what's he say? Go. 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 I mean, who is that? Go ye. That means you. Go ye. You. Me. All of us. Go ye. Therefore. See the therefore? Why is the therefore therefore? I'll tell you, because he has the authority. And he says, now, go. I have the authority. Go. What does that mean? Well, what that means is, as you and I go, and look at the next one, it says, and teach all nations. Then thirdly, baptizing them. So you got go, teach, baptize. That's the commission. Then look at verse 20. He said, teaching them. So you've got go, teach, baptize, train. Train those that you win to Christ. What are you supposed to train them to do? To win somebody else. You won them. Now train them to be a soul winner so they can lead somebody else to Christ. Well, how do we do that? Through him. He has the authority. That's what he's saying to us, folks. Go. Here's what he's saying. You go, I'll help you. I'll help you. You know, I'm going to find out one of these days, but, you know, I think about that boy in that restaurant in Beijing. My mind just went to him again. You know, I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to find out it was a divine appointment that God put that boy right there. He was sitting at that table when we walked in, and of course, you know, Glenn's laughing and teasing with the maitre d', the guy seating us, and you know, everybody in the restaurant looks at us. We're speaking a language that got their attention, and they're looking at us, and that boy no doubt turned around and looked, but God had that boy sitting right there. He was sitting right there. Why? I think he was searching. I think he was looking. And the Lord said, get up and go over there. And he did. And he got saved. Go, teach, baptize, and train. Pretty simple. That's the Great Commission. And folks, we can do this because the Lord Jesus has the authority to do it. If he doesn't use us, who's he going to use? I've heard folks say, oh, that doesn't work around here anymore. Well, I think Jesus knew what worked when he gave us the commission. And you know, strange thing is, the Mormons know it works. And the Jehovah's false witnesses knows it works. We need to tell the world about the one who can set them free. And that's the commission, folks. Right there in the story of Joseph is the commission of the New Testament. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless this to each and every heart. Father, help us to apply what we have heard. Help us to apply the word of God to our hearts. And I pray that we'll get a burden for lost souls, that we'll realize that we can make a difference in people's eternity. You've commissioned us to go. So, Father, give us the boldness to do that. Give us the consecration to do that, the commitment to do that. And, Father, use us for your glory. I pray you'll deal with every heart here this morning and give us that holy boldness that we need, that we'll go tell somebody else about Jesus. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.